Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. You're listening at CindySheehanSoapbox.com or CommunityProgressiveRadio.org. Oh my gosh, we have such a great and interesting show for you today. My guest is Abby Martin, and Abby graduated from San Diego State University with a BA in political science, where she was also involved in community organizing for multiple causes. She worked as a correspondent and writer for an internet news show where she conducted investigative citizen journalism and is now a contributing writer for numerous publications. Abby pioneered the creation of Media Roots to help inform and connect the community, and now Abby Martin has her own show on RT America, Russia Today America. Abby Martin is now a media sensation, and she's a dear friend of mine and a very sweet person, and I'm very honored to have her on the show today. Abby Martin, welcome to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox.
And thank you, Cindy. It's an honor to be here.
Oh, it's so nice to talk to you. We've known each other for quite a while, but you sure have come a long way from San Diego, where we met and you first interviewed me.
I know. It's amazing.
Well, you're a very accomplished artist, and I want to call you a media sensation, but not very many people who think like we do and act as we do reach the success that you have been able to reach so far in your young life. Tell my listeners and myself about your background and how you became the host of your own show on RT, Breaking the Set.
Well, I graduated with a poli-sci degree in Spanish, but of course, you know, as we know about college institutions, you don't really learn. It's just another form of indoctrination, and also just getting involved in anti-war activism when the Iraq War started. I realized that there was a lot of kind of towing the line of the Democratic Party early on,
right,
when I was trying to get involved in activism then. So just like trying to find out what groups to participate in, and also seeing just a lot of censorship with the media. At first I was just blaming the Republican Party, and then I realized, you know, this is really a problem that's systemic across all parties, it's the entire establishment. And so waking up from that was a really big shock to me. And then just getting involved in going from anti-war activism and zeroing in on the media, which I thought was really crucial, because if you don't have a medium to tell a message about anything that you care about, then how can we ever really move forward? And if we don't have free mediums of information to share anything, then it's going to be really hard to evolve past the problems that we're at today. So getting involved in media, starting off just doing like really grassroots video reporting and going from there to start Media Roots, which was my grassroots website, which was pretty much just a forum for people to, you know, share ideas, write, do research. And that's where I interviewed you. I have a couple of interviews that we did up on there. And then when the Occupy Oakland stuff cracked down, and it did really well. Media Roots was really awesome, and I was working with Project Censored as well in the Bay Area.
Right.
But then when Occupy Oakland cracked down and I saw the police state happen, like, in my backyard in Oakland, and I was just like, wow, this is really crazy. And I was out there doing footage, and RT was there as well. As we know, I mean, RT, they got nominated for a Grammy for their Occupy coverage because they were really the only network that was taking it seriously. So I saw them out there, and I was kind of like their correspondent from the ground in Oakland, and then the boss just saw all of these reports that I had done over the course of my life so far. I mean, I just had this giant video archive of, it's pretty much like I was already doing like a proto RT, just really low budget,
uh-huh, right.
What they already do. And so, you know, I got the job, and I was just like, man, do I really want to move out to DC? It sounds like hell.
Uh-huh.
The last place I want to move. I just couldn't fathom doing it. And I tried my hardest to try to do some sort of independent work from out there. And I was like, you know what? This is probably the biggest opportunity that I'll regret for the rest of my life if I don't try it. And I just came out there. At first I was anchoring, but they were like, you're way too opinionated to be like everyone came from J school, and they're like legit, you know, independent journalists that they understand how to not really reveal their opinion, but I don't know
right.
how to do that.
right.
So it just kind of all worked out, and like I pitched the show idea, you know, just like this. It was like I pitched it to just be kind of like the Daily Show, except not towing a certain party and not like funny. I was just like, I want to like, you know, take all these things that's wrong with the media and really cut through it and kind of cut through the two-party paradigm. And it just was awesome. I got a great team and it's like, we're killing it. We have 113 episodes and it's, I'm so proud of the work we've done so far. And I think it just is getting better and better.
Well, you know, I agree, and I congratulate you for what you're doing. And, you know, Archie is the, you know, I think it's the best network we have on to tell a different perspective from, you know, the corporate media or the cable news and things like that. I have seen that it seems to be a little more, like, skewed to the libertarian view of things. Almost every time I turn it on, it has some kind of libertarian on giving an opinion, you know, from the reason, from reason or whatever. And tell us about RT and what is its agenda, and are you, do you have any kind of pressure or censorship to report some things or not report other things from and RT America and RT Russia are different, aren't they?
Yeah, so RT Official is the Moscow bureau. So they're like the international bureau. They cover Russia stuff and everything else that's going on in, you know, Central Asia and Europe and stuff, and they have their bureau there. RT America, we have DC, New York, LA and Miami. And we primarily, like, they always push us to cover an obviously an American angle of everything that we're doing. Like, that's, you know, that's the point, is we're airing in America, so we need to talk about American issues. I try to bring up, of course, international issues, because I think everything is completely connected. And when you have a global military empire that you're pushing on the world, then everything is connected. You know, like, everything that's happening is, of course, a subsequent of the current state of things here. But as far as the agenda, yeah, it is really interesting. I think, because it's like the Occupy Wall Street movement, they were covering a lot and they were doing really great doing that. And then the Ron Paul thing, I think they got into this niche where they were like the go-to network for the Ron Paul coverage.
Right.
And I think they're still like hanging on to this thing where they're like pushing for that audience. And I don't understand why. I mean, to me, it's just, it's way too narrow in that sense. And we do have a lot of people who are just like the Ron Paul, you know, like free market or nothing kind of thing.
Right,
and to
right.
me, that's like, that's trapping the dialogue when we need to be
opening
it up.
Yeah, and that is fine. You know, that's fine to have that perspective, because we don't get that perspective either in the corporate media or the cable networks. But to me, it seems like it's a little overdone, I guess. But what is the link between RT and geopolitics between Russia as it exists today and the United States?
I think this is the interesting thing about why I can do what I can do, or why I can say things about, like, Israel, let's say, or, you know, speak out primarily about things that are super taboo, is because it is the Russian angle. Like, it's the Russian angle geopolitically that you can kind of go out there and be, you can speak about the things that Russia is, I mean, it's not that, like, Putin has overseen what we do or anything. It's nothing like that at all. It's basically exactly like Al Jazeera, where there's grants, that are public grants from the people of Qatar or whatever, the government of Qatar, and then it's, like, funded out, distributed to the network. So it's not like there's any sort of overt top-down talking points or anything like that. It's just that we kind of know what we can do and what we can. I mean, I'm not going to go out there and, like, you know, talk about Russia the whole episode. It's just I'm probably lose the job. Like, I'm picking my battles here, you know. Russia's not going around and colonizing the planet. So this, you know, all I know is America, and I've been speaking out against the empire here for as long as I can remember. So given an international platform to be able to do that, as well as speak about corporations, which is another huge benefit, because there's no corporate funding or corporate sponsorship. But I think that when you're looking at the geopolitical spectrum and you look at things like, you know, Syria, Palestine, Lebanon, different things that Russia it wants to remain independent. I mean, these are one of the last few independent states that are not under the wing of puppetry from Western forces.
Right.
So it's really crucial to keep these states as independent as possible, because if they fall, then it's just another domino down the drain. I mean, even though, Assad is horrible, I don't agree with any of these dictators. I want all the dictators to fall in the world, but I don't want the West to force them to fall and install a puppet. I mean, that's even worse. So I think Russia, you know, their interests are that as well, and so are mine. I mean, I never thought that I'd say that I have the same interests as probably the Russian government to keep these states from being toppled and all this. But it is very interesting. It's amazing that I can go out there and say just whatever I want to about this country and give total free rein to do so. And I think it's totally crucial.
Well, when those states tumble, mm-hmm. and their so-called dictators tumble, they become puppet governments of the U.S. and Israel. And I don't think that's in anybody's interest.
Right.
especially right. Russia. So do you have any plans to go there, to Russia?
I would love to. What I did just pitch is going to Cuba and doing a report about the healthcare, about transgender state-sponsored surgery, and doing an expose on Che Guevara and stuff like that. And he loved the idea. And so this is just it's just an amazing network to be able to pitch something so radical that no one would really. I mean, there's not really anything going on specifically that would prompt us to go there. Like, he was just totally down with the idea, and that's why I love the network so much, because I would love to do that. I mean, Cuba is one of those countries. Haven't you? You've been there, haven't you?
I've been there several times, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Cuba, so. It's just, it's one of those countries that no one, it's just kind of ignored, and no one talks about it, and it has one of the best agricultural and health
Absolutely.
Systems in the world.
Well, one thing is very, I think would be very relevant too, is how Cuba is also in this transition from the Castros to some kind of soft capitalism, and I think that's something that would be an amazing topic to explore.
Whoa, really?
Because of the blockade, the U.S. blockade against Cuba, the goods and services are very compromised there, and so they're trying to figure out ways that they can, be more prosperous. In a communist society, everybody's in the same boat. But but the young people who didn't grow, who weren't involved in the revolution, who weren't in Cuba the days of the Batista dictatorship and the horrible oppression of the U.S., they see these things that American kids have, and they want those things.
Right.
So how can American, I want to say United States kids have, and because they're part of the American hemisphere too, is how can they make everybody a little bit more prosperous without, succumbing to Western capitalism.
Yeah, it's a really fascinating idea, a really important one too. That is a great point.
Oh, absolutely. But I want to talk to you about what you've been doing. And one thing that I found really interesting, part of your work, and I believe it was before you had Breaking the Set, but is when you and our friend Luke Rutkowski confronted Rand Paul in the aftermath of that.
Yeah, it was one of those things that you don't realize how much of a bubble DC is, and how, the rules and what you have to do and stuff. And so, I'm coming from the Bay Area, one of the biggest counterculture areas in the country, to the most, probably just the most bizarre areas politically, because you are in this complete bubble.
Right.
So I had no idea. I mean, I got this press pass after I started working at RT, and I was so stoked. I was like, yes, I got a Senate press pass. This is awesome. I can now go and talk to politicians and go to these press conferences and stuff. And so I went into this public area of the Capitol building where Rand Paul was having this event, and it was open to the public, and I had a press pass, and we go in there, and we show it to the lady, and we go through the metal detectors and stuff, and we're on our way to this room, And we see him walking toward us. And I was like, well, shit, take out your, sorry, I just swore. I was like, well, take out your camera right now because he's coming toward us. I was like, so we can just talk to him right here. And so, of course, we tried to do that. And he totally ignored me, 100%. And then I just thought that it was over. I was like, well, he's a total tool. I kind of already knew that.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's a politician, just like his father.
Right.
And then a week later, I went into work, and they were like, you know, come in here. We need to talk to you. And I was like, whoa, what is going on? I could just feel the energy. Something was really serious. And they were like, you know, the Capitol Police are threatening to come and arrest you. And they're really upset. They're saying that they can charge you for harassment and something else, some other charge. And I was like, tell them to do it. I was like, tell them to send the police down here and arrest me because this is insane. I was like, we were totally authorized to be there. We had our passes. I was like, I'm in shock right now that this is even happening. And so there was all these empty threats. And I was like, tell the dude to write you and tell you exactly what he's charging me with. Because it was all just like him yelling at my boss on the phone, just all these blanket threats trying to get my boss to like reprimand me or, you know, take my press pass away. And so finally when the dude did contact me, he was just like very, you know, very professional. He's like, you need to come down to the Senate Media Relations Committee in the Senate building and meet with all of these bureau chiefs. And we need to like talk about what happened. And I was like, whatever. So I went down there and it was just so intense, Cindy.
Uh-huh.
Like went down in the Capitol and I'm in the room with like all the bureau chiefs of all these networks. And it was so, I felt like I was just getting scolded and like almost vaguely threatened by, you know, they're like, we own this city. You know, we've worked so hard to get even the status and access that we have. And they're like, we can't have like you people, like you little kids, like running around and ruining this for us. Like we are really comfortable with the access we have. You can't do this. You can't just like waltz in D.C. and like do this to politicians because they're going to take away even more of our access. I was just like, this is insane.
It's all about access, isn't it? I find that the media are the toadies and run up the butts of the politician because of access. But I also think about the so-called liberal, and maybe even happens on the conservative side, where liberal organizations or activists, they compromise their principles so they can also have access. I mean, anytime I went to D.C., the doors were open, many Congress people and senators, the doors were open to me anytime I went there. You know, they were wide open, yes, Cindy, come. But when I realized what, how awful that they were and how tied in they were with the establishment and started to realize that they were also my enemies, you know, those doors slammed shut,
mm-hmm.
but I was fine with it. You know, I'd rather be able to look at myself in the mirror than have access to these slime balls.
Yeah, and what's the access going to get you? Just them telling you talking points to reprint? Because if you start asking hard questions once you have the access, then you're out.
Right,
so it's like
exactly.
Totally manufactured, you know? That's the way these things work. So it's like, yeah, I'd much rather not have access and be able to stay true to my integrity and like than just be a lackey for these idiots.
And be something fresh and something different,
mm-hmm.
not just like read press releases from Congress or the White House.
Exactly, and we know that's what happens. There,
yeah.
Andrea, whatever, this woman who was an ex-NPR reporter who came out and she was like, look, I've been on the Hill for 6 years. That's 100% how it is. She's like, I can't do it anymore. It's part of the problem, and these people are just not questioning. It's just complete servitude to the establishment, and there's no hard questions, there's no critical thinking whatsoever. It's just like they know that that's how they have to maintain their jobs. And how sad is that, and how damaging is that to everyone else?
Exactly.
Horribly
I mean,
damaging.
To the world. It's
right.
So damaging to the world.
Right.
You know, I'm going to ask you, like, how are you doing in D.C.? You bring up that you didn't really want to move there. I find that if I go to D.C. and I'm there for, like, more than a week, I get really anxious and depressed. It's almost like it's got a center of cancer or something. How are you keeping your spirits up and exactly like not your address, but what part of D.C. are you living in?
I'm living right by the lobbyists, Cindy. And when I first moved here, I didn't know where was where. So I had like a couple of days just to get a place. And so I just got this apartment way in probably the worst part of town that I could have gotten it in. Like, it is just so stripped of any originality, like any art, any culture whatsoever. So I'm like super in the business district, a couple blocks from the White House. But man, you know, it's I've almost been here a year, and although I've met some really cool people through work, I can never live here. The second that this job's over, I'm leaving. I mean, there's no nature. There is, but it's like so far. I don't, you know, I'm like, I'm not driving into Virginia to go on a hike. I mean, it's just there's barely any trees, or even aside from all the nature stuff, I mean, there's like no coffee shops, like independent shops and stuff,
Oh,
storefronts,
well, there is in certain
There
neighborhoods.
is, yeah. I
I
mean,
think
know,
you would
right where
like
around where I live.
I picture you like an Adams Morgan kind of person, you know, being
Yeah.
over there.
But it is depressing, Cindy. It really is. It's a weird, just, and especially like now I'm dating someone. I think you know Mike Preisner. He's in LA.
Oh,
So
sure, yeah, he's
I go to
awesome.
LA a lot. He's amazing. But when I'm not in LA, like when I was here and I was actually like dating and I was like just out and meeting people, I was just like, these people are such douchebags. It was all like federal agents or lawyers or lobbyists. Like seriously, like it was just amazing. It's those are the three types of people like out and about, and they all just think they're so self-important. Everything they're
Oh
doing is
God,
like the
I
most important
know.
thing ever, and you're like, oh my God. So it was just hilarious. Like it's just such a bizarre scene if you're in the dating pool, but just to hang out, it's still weird. It's
I
still
know.
bizarre.
So do you, this is gonna be my last question, and something that I just thought of. Have you watched the Netflix series House of Cards?
I just watched the first episode.
It's
Have you watched the whole
freaking
thing?
brilliant. Yeah,
Really?
I watched every episode, and you know, it just to me is that people might think that it's fiction, but to me it's like a fictionalized documentary of how Washington D.C. really is. And I like totally and wholeheartedly recommend you to watch the whole series because that's just basically what DC is. It's about the person, you know, it's about each individual getting what he or she can and screw everybody else and anybody else's lives. And then DC, to me, it's like DC. When I'm going on this bike ride, to me, the journey is more important than getting to DC. Because even though DC is this big, almost like anti-Disneyland, where it's just a big show, it has such a huge and disastrous effect on the rest of the world.
Yeah, I almost compare it to Veep. Even though Veep was a comedy, it still showed the same kind of thing where all these politicians care about literally is themselves, access, and damage control. And it's all just deals. It's all just backdoor deals. Like no one cares about their constituency. No one cares about anything that's good. It's all just like, what can you do for me? What can I do for you? How can I clean up this mess? How can I fix whatever the media is saying? How can I prevent this from getting out? Like just all of these things, just constant obsession about their own track record. And it's just amazing. And I know that's how it really is. I saw it firsthand with this Rand Paul situation. I'm like, if you really cared, I mean, geez, all of this, all the Ron Paul fans and stuff, it's like, they don't care, you know, he's just trying to vie for a presidential bid in 2016. That's what they care about. They care
Well,
about them, their own trajectory.
I think that's what his dad's run in 2012 was all about, setting
Yep, to
Rand
prop
up
him
for
up.
2016. Yeah, anyway.
But
So,
I think,
Abby.
really quickly, I wanted to say one more thing, is that I
Okay.
think a lot of people who are like terrified of the government because they think that there's like this giant overarching, you know, people who believe in like the New World Order or whatever, all these Alex Jones people who look at the government and they're scared of this apparatus, but really it's a machine and it's all about profit and what we're talking about. I mean, that's what it is. So it's like it's not as scary and ominous as people think. I think it's just And that's what I think takes away people's agency when they kind of like are terrified of this, you know, supremely evil entity that's controlling everything and wants to poison and kill all of us. It's like, no, that's not what's happening. It's just like a corporate machine of people who are just selfish.
Right. It's just a, just really crappy institutional momentum. And, you know, people are so afraid of the IRS. It took the IRS 7 years to find me. And I have a website. I'm like one of the most easily found people in the world.
You know? What happened with that?
Well, the IRS actually withdrew the subpoena. So, you know, they'll still try to collect my taxes, but they're not actively prosecuting me for them anymore. So,
wow.
Yeah. So, and if we all banded together and worked against this horrible institution, we could easily defeat it. But they count on their media, and they count on that fear factor to keep us from rising up against them.
Absolutely.
And I just want to thank you for breaking the set and for being there and for, you know, being an alternative voice. And as I encourage people to watch House of Cards, I encourage people to watch your show too, Abby.
Thank you so much, Cindy.
And I'm so proud of
you.
I know when I saw you and Peter at the Bohemian Grove protest, I was all like, Peter, our little girl.
It's so fun, Cindy. I really do want to keep trying to be that alternative voice because we need it. You know, it's like I wanted to bridge the gap and I wanted to provide a really radical left perspective, but that's still grounded in sanity and reality,
well,
which I think is really hard to find.
Yeah, and, you know, you're making a huge sacrifice by being there and doing this, Abby, and so I hope you're getting a lot of support. And I'm really happy to hear that you and Michael found each other. I think that's great.
Thank you so much, Cindy. I love you very much, and I'm so excited. Oh, by the way, oh, my God, I forgot to tell you the news.
Huh.
I pitched following your bike tour from a state over back to D.C. for the show, and I said we could do it. Isn't that
cool?
Awesome. I know. So I think once you guys hit Virginia, we'll be on the tour for the days that you're on it and following you, and we can do a bunch of stuff.
I'm going to say, holy moly.
It was so fun.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. Okay, Abby, I love you too, and keep up the good work, and I hope
Thanks,
you feel
Cindy.
Better, and, you know, I hope you feel the support so you can keep going.
Well, if I have your support and the people that I care about, that's all I need, and let me know if there's anything else I can do to help the Toward the Peace.
Okay, Abby Martin, thank you so much for being on Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox.
Hi, Cindy.
Okay, talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
That was an awesome and inimitable Abby Martin. And now I'd like you to take a few minutes, about 6 minutes, to listen to an interview that I did with Abby at the beginning of this week about my new initiative called Tour the Peace. So listen to this interview when I was on Abby's show, Breaking the Set on RT.
Coming from the largest military empire in the world, it's a wonder how little the establishment discusses the implications of war. The downtrodden economy has taken center stage, and the discussion of U.S. foreign policy has waned into a mere afterthought. This has posed a challenge for many anti-war activists who have been forced to get creative, looking for ways to engage and educate people about the perils of U.S. militarism. One such person is world-renowned peace activist Cindy Sheehan, who's notorious for her audacious actions like camping out at George Bush's ranch in Crawford, Texas in 2005. Now, Cindy is taking her activism on the road with a new proposal called Tour de Peace, cross-country bike tour starting on April 4th in Vacaville, California, and ending July 3rd right here in Washington, D.C. So to talk about this ambitious initiative and what it hopes to achieve, I'm joined by my friend, Cindy Sheehan, anti-war activist, former vice presidential candidate for the Peace and Freedom Party, and author of Peace Mom, A Mother's Journey Through Heartache to Activism. Cindy, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, Abby, it's always great to talk to you. Thank you for having me on.
Of course. So, Cindy, this is an extremely ambitious initiative. I commend you for what you're doing. I think it's amazing. Talk about the demands that this tour has, because I know it's not just about ending the war. What other issues are you trying to call attention to?
Well, we're trying to call attention to whistleblowers, to the war economy, the money spent on war. We're trying to call attention to the fact that there are war crimes happening right now, but the previous administrations committed war crimes and crimes against humanity, and the current administration is protecting those war criminals while they're persecuting whistleblowers and other social justice and peace activists also. And so, you know, I'm upset with Obama. I'm upset with the empire as usual, but I'm more frustrated with the movement or the lack of movement in the movement. And so DC is an important place, but we want to organize across the country. We want to rally people together to say that these wars are still happening. Obama has expanded Africa to 35 or 36 countries where U.S. troops are or drones are. And it's just pitiful, the lack of response to it. We have been organizing Tour to Peace now for several weeks. We have a couple dozen people who are committed to helping us across the country. But you can be assured if it were Romney as president, McCain or Bush, we'd have a couple thousand people committed to it. So it's very frustrating that so many people have situational principles. Is they're against these things when a Republican is in office, but not so much when a Democrat is in office. And Obama, of course, like I said, expanding the U.S. troop presence in Africa, he's bombing or has bombed about 8 Muslim countries.
Right.
And it's, excuse me, just despicable that there, like you said, there's very little protest against it. And I've been trying since he's been president, and I'm hoping that more people will become involved and get excited about this trip, because it's wrong no matter who's president.
Well, of course, Cindy,
what's
as we know,
is wrong no matter who's president.
Absolutely. I mean, as we know, the anti-war movement, of course, has taken a big hit under Obama, despite the expansion of the drone wars, like you just said. Some say it's worse than ground troops because it detaches people from the ground of war. You're one of the very few activists, Cindy, who has remained steadfast despite the change in party leadership. I mean, but then again, you're saying that, you know, we would have a couple thousand if Romney were president. I mean, doesn't this signify, though, that liberals and Democrats don't care about these issues? I mean, legitimately, what else can it be?
Well, that's what I said. I said they have situational principles, and the situation that depends on is who is in office.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to focus, or the movement or the liberals want to focus on the things that they think that the Republicans are responsible for, like this current economic crisis, without attaching the facts that we're spending trillions of dollars a year on empire, and Obama is responsible for that. He's a commander in chief. So, you know, it's just, and then the environmental movement is not talking about how, and we're very pro environment on this tour too. We're taking bicycles instead of what I call dynamobiles. And so the establishment environmental movement isn't talking about the military industrial complex that sucks up more oil and fuel than any other institution in the world, and pollutes everywhere it goes with depleted uranium, with all kinds of toxins.
Of course.
So, you know, there's a lot of issues we're addressing on the tour.
Absolutely. Of course, it's all connected, which is really so infuriating when people don't see the connection with the economy, the environment, everything with the military. I wanted to quickly look at a map right now of all the cities that are firm so far. I know that there might be some added on the tour. We're looking at that right now, Cindy. What are your plans for each city here? grassroots efforting initiatives here, speaking, talk about that.
Well, the part that you have on is the first part of the tour that's taking Route 66, which is also called the Mother Road, which I think is very significant because women and mothers are the ones that suffer the most, I think, because of these wars for empire. But what we're hoping to do is rally people in every city. We have many people who have signed up to host us. We're going to need housing. We're going to need people sponsor rallies and events and meetings and fundraising to get across the country. And any money that we have left over is going to go to groups that help people in Iraq and Afghanistan. So we're hoping to raise a lot of money above what it's going to cost to go across the country. And then the second part goes from Chicago to Washington, D.C., and our full route is published at our website, Tour to Peace. So if you're on our route or if you're a little bit off our route, we don't mind going off the route a little bit. Get a hold of us at tourtopeace.org and volunteer to organize in your community, because we just really want to. In 2005, when I camped out in George Bush's front yard, the anti-war movement was very demoralized, very discouraged, and it rallied people. And we're hoping that this is going to rally people across the country. And we're going through the heart of America. We're not skipping the flyover zone where most activism happens on the coast, because the coasts are, you know, more progressive, but we're going through the heart of America, and we have a nonpartisan tour. We're not blaming the Republicans. We're not blaming the Democrats. We're blaming the system. And it's going to take everybody, no matter, you know, what your political identification is, to change things for the better.
Well, thank you so much, Cindy. Tour to Peace. Everyone check it out. I'm really looking forward to this happening. Let's definitely touch base with you when you get here, your end goal, Washington, D.C. I'm really looking forward to that. Cindy Sheehan, always awesome to have you on.
Thank you, Abby, and see you in D.C.
That was Cindy Sheehan Soapbox for today, and Cindy Sheehan Soapbox and Abby Martin and Community Progressive Radio with our friend Don DeBar. They're wonderful examples about how we can have our own media, our own alternative to the corporate bull stuff that's out there today. So please support us and support Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. Go to cindysheehansoapbox.com. And as always, I'd like to thank Don DeBar from Community Progressive Radio for being my engineer, Mikey for being my producer. I'd like to thank the awesome Abby Martin for being my guest, and you for listening and supporting the show. I'm Cindy Sheehan. You've been listening to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. Peace out for now.